You're listening to Comedy Central.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
Please welcome Masha Gessen. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Cannot start the interview without commenting on your shirt. That is an interesting motif you have on there.
This actually is a shirt from the 2011-2012 protests in Russia.
What does that shirt mean? Putin must not wear a princess crown?
Russians against tiaras. It's Putin should not be a monarch.
Right.
We should have a liberal democracy. That didn't work so well.
Let's talk about that. Let's get straight into that idea. Putin should not be a monarch. Do you think in many ways Putin has managed to cement his power as, in effect, a monarch of Russia?
Absolutely. There are no elections. There are no elections for, you know, Congress, the Russian equivalent of a Congress. And there's a presidential election, but no one can get on the ballot without Putin's personal permission. And no one can campaign.
Which seems fair. I mean,
He thinks he's the best person for the job.
he genuinely does. He is someone who for a long time has felt, though, that his standing in the world has been diminished. He's someone who has felt for a long time that Russia isn't where it should be in the world. Would you argue that that's all he wants from America and from the EU and all of the powerful nations out there?
You know, the kind of leader that he is, basically an autocrat, I don't think there's such a thing as all he wants. He very much wants to be taken seriously. He very much wants to be treated as an equal partner by the United States. But he will always want more. I mean, it's in the nature of that kind of leadership to want to expand. And it's also in the... he needs to constantly sort of create the illusion of movement in order to be able to mobilize the population.
It's interesting that you say the illusion of movement, because you've written extensively about Vladimir Putin and understanding authoritarianism, looking at what it comes with and what it entails. When you look at Vladimir Putin and you look at Donald Trump, are they the same person? Are they similar? Or are there aspects of what they're doing that reminds one of the other?
They're not actually that similar, right? I mean, emotionally, they're completely different. Trump is raw emotion, and Putin is, he prides himself on being so controlled, right?
Now, I just picture, obviously, like, Trump crying watching a movie. I'm emotional.
Not exactly what I mean, but you know, they come from different histories, and everything about them is different. But there are certain things that I think are characteristic of autocrats that after 20 years of covering Putin, I've sort of trained my eyes to see that, right? I have optics. Well, like for Trump and Putin, one amazing similarity is the way they lie, right? Which most politicians, who sometimes lie, will want you to come around to their point of view. They want to get you to believe something.
Right.
These guys lie to assert power. The more absurd what they say is, the more power they have asserted. It's basically saying, you know, I will say whatever I want whenever I want to.
I don't understand that. Is that them basically having the power to define reality? Is that what it is? I truly don't understand how they see that as a powerful thing, because you would assume everyone's looking at them going, but you're lying.
Well, it's two things, actually. One is having the power to define reality, right? I'm not just president of the country, I'm king of reality.
Right.
But it's also a bully tactic. I mean, it's like the kid who stole your lunchbox, and you're saying, you stole my lunchbox, and he's holding it, but he says, no, I didn't take your lunchbox, right? And he has the power.
That's interesting. When you look at Putin and Trump's relationship, the media has been focusing on it. You cannot escape it on the news in the U.S. Do you feel that this is the right amount of attention that should be paid towards it, or is there a different way to look at it? As someone who has been an expert at what the Russians want or what's happening with Russia-American relations, how do you think it should be handled as a topic, as an idea?
It's important, obviously, and Russian interference in the election is important, but I would argue that actually what's out in the open is much more important than whatever an investigation has unearthed, at least at this point, right? I mean, we saw Donald Trump say openly that he wants Russia to hack Hillary Clinton's email.
Yes.
Right? And so I don't quite understand the excitement when nearly a year later, it turns out that Don Jr. said in private, in confidence, the exact same thing his dad said in public for all the world to hear.
But right? wouldn't some people say, yeah, but that's different. He said it, but then he claimed that he was being sarcastic, whereas with Don Jr., it looked like this was an action. These people were willing to collude with the Russians.
Right, but I think, again, we knew that, right? And I think it's important to react to what's out in the open. What's out in the open is Trump's admiration for Putin.
Uh-huh.
What's out in the open and Trump's explicit understanding that political power is what Putin does, right? It's controlling a country. It's governing by decree. It's basically, again, establishing an autocracy.
There are many people who say Putin and Trump can't be that similar because Putin is oppressive of the LGBTQ community in his country, but Donald Trump has said that he would be an ally to the very same community.
Right. So I actually wrote a piece. I actually wrote a piece a year ago in which I argued that that if Trump became president, he would likely reverse progress in LGBTQ rights. And it was a weird thing to do because when I was writing it, I thought logically I know this to be true. Emotionally, I couldn't believe it. Right? I was right, even as I wrote it, I thought, well, it's impossible. You know, it's like, it seems that we have made so much progress.
Right.
That there's no way it can be reversed. Plus, Trump had said, you know, he had draped himself literally in the rainbow flag.
Right.
And yet, it was the most recent social change. It was the most it was the fastest social change. But I think even more than that, and I think this is where what he did a year to the day after I wrote that article. With tweeting that transgender people weren't going to be allowed to serve in the military. What he did was something that's emotionally actually goes to the heart of Trumpism, which is very anti-modern. It's this promise of return to this imaginary past that is so simple that everybody's role is assigned at birth. And, you know, you're born to be, you know, a carpenter
uh-huh.
or a farmer, and you will live in the same quarter for the rest of your life, and you are born man or woman, and it can never change, and nothing about you can change. That, I mean, it's an almost mystical kind of past, but it's the kind of past that he promised us. You know, he ran on the promise of an imaginary past. And I think emotionally sort of saying to Americans, look, you're not going to have to face the possibility of inventing yourself.
Right.
Is very important for him.
So if we're to look at Putin and Trump and their relationship as it stands, I believe the Senate just moved the bill forward now to the president's desk, the sanctions on Russia. That seems like it's going to be a major point for Trump. He's going to have to openly say, yes, I am completely with the United States, or I'm going to deny this, I'm going to veto this bill and not support the sanctions. Do we know anything about their relationship beyond what we're told in public? Is there anything that we should be looking for as someone who's familiar with the Russians and as someone who's seeing Donald Trump at the same time?
So again, I mean, I think that we should be looking at what's out in the open,
mm-hmm.
right? We should really at all costs try to avoid the kind of conspiracy thinking that a leader like Trump, who is himself a conspiracy theorist, produces, right? You want to mirror it and look for the hidden secret mm-hmm. instead of just staring at the truth that stares you in the face. But frankly, I don't think that Putin is as interested in lifting sanctions as he claims to be.
Oh, interesting.
There's a particular set of sanctions that Russians are very interested in lifting, and those are the sanctions imposed by the Magnitsky Act.
Yes.
Right? And that's when they talk about adoption, they actually talk about those sanctions. Those sanctions are important because they target people personally, they target their assets personally, and they have really felt the pain. Right? When the country at large feels the pain, that actually doesn't necessarily hurt Putin, and in a way, it's a mobilizing tool for him, because Russia has been sort of gathered around Putin, who has said that Russia is at war with America has been saying that for basically the last 4 or 5 years.
Wow. It's a scary story, and the shirt that you're wearing makes it light at the same time. Thank you so much for joining us.
I
appreciate your mind. The Future of History will be available October 3rd, but you can pre-order now. Masha Gessen, everybody.
Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.